This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم كتابه بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. The series of khutbas that I started last week or the week before actually, it's community investment. The topics or the issues or the disciplines or the fields or the categories, however you want to call them, that I believe our communities should be investing in. And this is the best I could come up with after 10 years of living here and just observing things move forward or backwards sometimes. And these five categories, I think we have the ability to invest in. There may be other ones that we should be investing in. I don't think we have the ability to. I think if you I think if any community or any human being aims a little bit too high or beyond their means, they end up burning themselves out with almost no, with nothing to show for at the end. But these five categories, wallahu a'lam, I believe that we do have the capacity. I think we have the time, we have the organization, the leadership, and the wealth. I think we have all of the tools that are required for us to actually invest in them. And I talked about education last week. I think it's the by far the most important of all. But the topic I want to talk about today is equally important, and in some ways a little bit entangled. There may be a little bit of overlap between the two, but they are distinct in their nature. Today I want to talk about investing in mentorship. And mentorship is a little bit different than education. In order for me to educate people, I need educated people to do the job. I need someone who has been properly educated to teach. Mentorship, I don't need educated people. I just need decent people. Just someone with basic decency can do the job of mentorship. Now, why is this an issue today? Well, I'll tell you why. Because years ago, and I'm talking about from the beginning of the bi'tha of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, up to maybe the last couple of decades, really not even centuries, when you sent your child to a sheikh or a sheikha, depending on the gender, you sent them to someone who was going to be their mentor. Now, knowledge was just a perk. It was just a bonus. Knowledge was a part of a plan of this individual being mentored by their teacher. And we had words like mulazama and words like sohba, where you would go and you would spend time, long periods of time with this mentor, with this sheikh, and you would learn from them. Imam Malik tells us, Imam Malik ibn Anas, the Imam of Dar al-Hijra of Medina, this is what he says. قَالَ كَانَتْ تُعَمِّمُنِي أُمِّي وَأَنَا صَغِيرٌ. My mother used to put my imama on my head. ثُمَّ تَقُولُ لِي اِذْهَبْ إِلَى رَبِيعَ. He would tell me, go to Rabi'a, Rabi'a al-Ra'i. Rahimahullah, one of the great tabi'i scholars. قَالَ فَخُذْ مِنْ أَدَبِهِ قَبْلَ عِلْمِهِ. Go and learn from his adab before you learn from his knowledge. The word adab we translate today as manners, which is not a bad translation if you understand the word manners in English the way it's supposed to, in the kind of the broader sense. In adabi, you learn how he lived his life, how he thought, how he spoke, how he processed information, how he dealt with daily scenarios, what ambitions this person had. Learn that before you learn his knowledge. And Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu anhu also said the same thing. فَلْمَا كُنَّا نَتَعَلَّمُ الْعِلْمَ حَتَّى نَتَعَلَّمَ الْأَدَبِ. We would learn knowledge only after we picked up the manners, understood how to process the information of this life and how to deal with it, how to move forward, and in what way, in what direction, in what method, what form. One of Imam Malik's students would say, لَزِمْتُ الْإِمَامَ مَالِكَ 20 عَامًا. I spent with Imam Malik 20 years. فَتَعَلَّمْتُ الْعِلْمَ فِي سَنَةً. I learned all of his knowledge, everything I need to know in a year. وَتَعَلَّمْتُ الْأَدَبَ مِنْهُ فِي 19 سَنَةً. I learned his adab in 19 years. وَلَوْ قَضَيْتُهَا كُلَّهَا فِي الْأَدَبِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لِي. And if I spent all 20 just learning his adab, would it be better for me? This is not to bring down the importance of knowledge. We already talked about education last week, so you can't use that against me. But he's talking about something different. Mentorship. The Prophet ﷺ understood the importance of that. He himself was mentored, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or why do you think Jibreel came so often? Alayhi salatu wasalam was mentored by other people as well in his life. There's nothing wrong with that. Saying that is nothing wrong with saying that. Yes, he was mentored by his wife. He was mentored by his uncle. He was mentored by his grandfather. You are mentored by a lot of people throughout your existence. People that you come in contact with and then you look up to. You listen, you watch, you observe. You learn to do things the way they do it. That's mentorship. Everybody needs it. No person on the face of this earth, historically, until the end of time, who will or has ever achieved anything of worth not being mentored? They have all been mentored. Everyone's standing on the shoulders of giants, as they say, as Newton said. It's not possible. You need to have some, you need people, you need multiple people. And if you don't, and if you achieve something in your life and I ask you who mentored you and you don't have names, then you are not a very good mentee. Then you took a lot and you did not even notice you were taking. You were learning and absorbing, and you didn't even take the time to acknowledge those who were showing you the way. And that's a big musibah. You should always remember who it was that took time to teach and who it was that you were watching, observing, and learning from. Maybe you didn't want to admit it at the time for different reasons, but you did. We all did. The only reason I stand here is because so many people spend so much time, invested time in teaching and mentoring and putting up with me as a human being for a very long time. That is something that there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that. If anything, your integrity is based on the fact that you acknowledge stuff like that. But what happens when we stop mentoring in a society? What happens when we completely remove that human touch, that peace? We remove it completely, where you only go to places where you're going to be tutored, where you're going to be barked at or told or directed or explained certain things, and you go home with no one actually investing in you, with no one actually noticing you, with no one actually observing you and then coming and talking to you about how you can become better, giving you something to look forward to and inspiring you to be. If that is removed from society, then we are rolling the dice. We're just hoping, inshallah, somehow these younger people just figure it out on their own. Possible. Not possible. The Prophet ﷺ did this. What do you think mu'akha did? The concept of mu'akha, what do you think that was? It wasn't just for housing. It was also, he'd bring an early muhajir Muslim and put him in the house of a new Ansari. Or an old Ansari Muslim, an Ansari who had accepted Islam 3 years before, and put a new muhajir with them so they could learn from each other. So they could build on each other's knowledge and also learn. One of the most beautiful stories we have in that regard is the beautiful relationship that was built between Abu Ubaidah Amir ibn al-Jarrah and Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Mu'adh was maybe 20 years his junior. And he was his shadow. He shadowed Abu Ubaidah. Wherever Abu Ubaidah was, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was. He learned from him. He stood by him. He picked up from him his adab, because Abu Ubaidah is one of the first couple of Muslims. The first 3 days of Islam, Abu Ubaidah was already with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the Ashar Mubashirin bil Jannah, as you know. And Mu'adh, as a younger person, because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam passed away before Mu'adh was, قبل أن يبلغ أشده, as they say, before he became to the age where he was able to run things on his own, so he stuck with Abu Ubaidah. When Abu Ubaidah died, later on, around Ma'rakat al-Yarmouk, when he passed away, the Ta'un, Mu'adh would stand and would say, أيها الناس, لقد فجعتم برجل. Today you have lost someone. والله إني لأزعم أني ما رأيت من عباد الله قط أقل غمزا ولا أبر صدرا ولا أبعد غائلة ولا أشد حبا للعاقبة ولا أنصح للعامة منه ترحموا عليه يرحمكم الله. He said, I stand here today and tell you, this is what I believe, that you have never lost a human being who was more pure of heart, who was more loving to Islam and to Muslims, who was more far away from bad behaviors and bad thoughts than this gentleman right now. So say rahmatullah alayhi. So they all did. Now that wasn't knowledge, what he'd shared with them. Mu'adh did not share knowledge with them. He didn't stand up and say, this is what he taught me. He taught me the ahkam. No, he stood and said, this is what I watched, this is what I observed. This gentleman, this human being, had a level of ethics. He had morals, he had behaviors, he had a personality, he had character. That was 1, 2, 3. And even if you didn't have the same, which he did, radiallahu anhu, then just observing that, watching that, being a part of that is very, very meaningful. It does a lot for you. The suhbah of a salihin does a lot. If you're in the vicinity of people who behave in a certain way, act in a certain way, think in a certain way, you totally will. And that goes both directions, by the way, as you know very well. It goes in both directions. You spend time with the wrong group of people, you'll pick up. You spend time with the right group of people and you'll also pick up. That's why I started this khutbah with Surah Al-Asr. I believe it's the surah that explains the concept of generational mentorship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by time. Not by the Salat Al-Asr, it's by time. Al-Asr is time. Wal-Asr, he swears, I swear by time. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Indeed, the human being is in a continuous state of loss of it. A loss of time, obviously. The human being is always losing time, that's correct. Anything that is not expanding is regressing. Anything is not increasing, it's decreasing. The moment you're born, that sand clock is turned around. And you're losing time as every moment passes. No one knows how much you have. No one knows how much I have. No one knows anything. But we're losing time as we move forward. The human being is always in loss of time, except a group of people. He didn't say illa alladhi, he said illa alladhina, except a group of people. What do they do? A few things. Amanu wa amilu salihat. For obviously they have to at least acknowledge God. If you don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all, then there's really nothing you can do to make up for that. Every moment is a lost moment. If you don't know God at all, you have no belief in Allah, you have no connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your time is all lost. Wa amilu salihat, they performed the deeds that they were created to perform. Again, comes together with the package. But then he adds subhanahu wa ta'ala two pieces. Wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. Now, let's focus on the word tawasaw first. Wasa is when you give someone advice. Tawasa means when two people exchange advice. It's different. It's not a one-way road. The moment he said tawasa, it's no longer a one-way road. See, education is. I stand up, I teach aqidah, or I teach fiqh, or I teach hadith, or I teach seerah. I teach. It's not a two-way road. I have information. I am conveying it to you. So you have that information. So you can take it and give it to someone who doesn't have it. That's education. It's very simple. Mentorship is not that. It's a two-way road. It's tawasaw. There is an exchange of advice about haqq, what is worth dying for, and sabr, what is worth living for. That's it. Exchanging that. It's something that goes back and forth. You learn more by role modeling than you do from any other activity that you will ever engage in within your life. When you role model for people, when you try to mentor individuals, you learn more than they do. By far, by far. I've been doing this for a long time. You learn. You are the winning side within this equation. You're definitely winning. It's not the people that you're mentoring, it's the one who is mentoring others. So the question that I'm going to leave with you at the end of this first half of the khutbah is, who is your mentor? And who are you mentoring? If you have no answer to either of these questions, then that's one of the main causes of where we are right now. This is one of the main causes, because that question does not have an immediate answer. Where immediate, I know, these are the people who have mentored me, this is the person who is still mentoring me, and these are the people who I am taking care of, who I am observing and following along, and I'm offering them that advice without any form of judgment, because they're safe with me, because I care for them, because I'm coaching them. These concepts are so important, so important. You see, Musa alayhi salam, when you heard in Surah Al-Kahf, when he heard that someone had, he went to Al-Khadr. He said, "Hal attabi'uka ala an tu'allimani mimma 'allimta rushda?" Can I follow you? He didn't say, "Can you sit and teach me?" No, he said, "Can I follow you? Can I walk around with you wherever you are, wherever you go? Can I walk around so I can learn from you?" So he said, "Yes." He had to ask for permission, because it is not open, not open source. You have to ask for permission in order for that to actually happen. So he said, "Yes," and then the story, as you know it. When I grew up, it was more possible to actually do mulazama and suhba. I was able to do that with scholars, especially those who are a little bit older, who are retired. One of my shaykh, Sheikh Shukri, Allah yarhamu, I used to wait for him to go and visit one of his family members, because he didn't take me with him, obviously, so I could eat a chicken and go to sleep, because this man did not eat, nor did he sleep. He didn't do either. And I was maybe 18 at the time, and I was with him, and I was always hungry, and I was always tired, because he slept at maybe 12 o'clock and woke up at 4. And he didn't eat anything in the day. It was just like small nibbit. He would just, like a couple of dates or a little bit of lip. That's it. I was starving at the end of the day. I would make dua, "Ya Rab," he goes and he visits his daughter. I was sometimes even hinted, "Sheikh, you haven't seen your son-in-law for a while. Maybe you should go visit him." Only so he would leave the house so I can go buy a farruj, eat it, and then sleep for an hour. Because this gentleman had lived differently. They were made from... But when you spend time with someone like that, when you spend time with someone who starts his day at 4 and continues to go and mentor and teach and work and do khair until the end of the day, and you watch that for a while, it changes the way you perceive yourself, and it changes the way you perceive the world. The way your worldview completely changes, and your values change as well, because you can't help but to see that this is the right way to do it. This person is at more peace with himself than the majority of all human beings put together on this earth. This person is happier. This person has meaning within their lives that I can't even fathom. I don't even have the ability to imagine. Because this person understands exactly how to live. It wasn't the knowledge. I honestly don't even remember learning a book from him at all. It was just spending time and observing how he lived. And then doing that with others. We don't have the capacity to do that here. We don't. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. So what do we need? We need the alternative. The alternative is everybody get involved. Everyone offer something. Everyone make sure that they take interest. And I'll give you a few points at the end in the second half of the khutbah. But everyone has to get involved. You don't have to teach them that, but something. You have some skill set. You have something about you. Have everyone here has something to offer. Offer it. Offer it. Why? Because unless we do that, we're in constant loss of time. I walked down this road and I figured out this road is not doesn't work. So I'm on my way back. My job is to make sure I let everyone else know this road is not worth it. Or else you walk down that road and we waste time. We're losing time. I just walked down it. It doesn't take you anywhere. Don't walk down that road. And if I can do that, if I can help someone not to walk down that road, they just won time. They just won time. They were going to waste a lot of time walking down that road and coming back again. But I just won them some time. And if we did that, then every generation would win the other generation after a little bit of time. We're not losing it anymore. That's why إِلَّا الَّذِي Not everyone's losing time. No, some people aren't. Those who do it right. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. أبو حنيفة رضي الله عنه used to take care of his students. He used to actually spend his wealth on his students. He used to pay for them to actually continue to learn. And one time one of his students, Abu Yusuf, came and said, ما أكرمك يا إمام, how you're so generous. فَقَالَ كَيْفَ لَوْ رَأَيْتَ شَيْخِي حَمَّادًا. What would you have said if you saw my Sheikh Hamad, who did the same for me? This is not an issue of you offering something. It's not paying it forward. It isn't. This is payback. You owe this. You owe this. We all do. If you stand up straight with a sound mind and something to show for the years you've spent, someone or many people have mentored you and stood by you and allowed you to do so. Now it's your turn to do the same for others. If I asked each and every one of you a question about, tell me a little bit about your life, what affected you, you will remember moments and people, individuals and situations, and you'll remember things of how you were affected positively by some and sometimes negatively by others. That has to happen on a wider scale. That has to happen more often. We all have to be a part of that. I'm not saying that you can live like my sheikh did and then do that for others, but you can offer something, some skill sets. And I put up a couple of ideas for you to talk about. I'm not going to go through all of them. Just think about them. Think about them. Skill sets. What do you know how to do? You know how to publicly speak? Help someone learn to do that. Not everyone knows how to do that. Are you someone who understands how to deal? You're socially inclined. You're good. You're good at dealing. Teach people who aren't. Help someone who... Are you academically advanced? You're a world-renowned researcher. Help someone who isn't. Pick up someone who's walking down that road and mentor them. Help them achieve that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as payback, not at paying it forward, as payback. Saying, Ya Rabb, this was offered to me. Is the zakah of what was offered to me in my life. I don't know who exactly gave it to me. I can't remember anymore. So I just have it and I know that I owe someone, so I'm going to pay it to someone else and hopefully they'll do the same. And if everyone did that within the fields that they're good at and what they knew how to do, then a lot of the problems we have today would start to decrease. Because mentorship is a beautiful, beautiful concept. It doesn't have within it accountability, really. It has within it the concept of coaching. And if you've played a sport, you know that your coach can be very, very harsh with you. But you don't mind that. You're okay with your coach yelling at you. You're okay with your coach sometimes pointing out that you are not doing the job and you're not worth the air that you breathe. And you still get up and try again because you know that your coach cares about you and wants you to be the best you can be. It's hard to mentor and parent. I take that back. It's impossible to mentor and parent. It's almost impossible. It's very difficult. And if you're able to do it at a young age and you're happy about it, let me just give you a glimpse of your future. Very soon, they won't be your mentees anymore, your children. And it'll break your heart as a father and a mother. It really will. Because you love them so much and you want them to learn, but they just won't. It's just not because they need validation of the things you've taught them from outside. They need someone to tell them that their parents aren't insane. All children need that. It's a very weird dynamic of life, but it is the way life works. You grow up in this bubble where it's your mom and your dad and maybe a few other people like grandparents, and they're all telling you the same thing. Now, in order for you, at some point in your life, in order for you to continue, you need someone to validate that this makes sense, that your parents are not all crazy saying things that make no sense at all. And if you're not exposed to the right people who will say that to you, then you will end up going in the opposite direction. That's why bad friendships and bad suhbah, that's all it does. All it does is tell the child that, no, that's what your dad, no, that your dad says? No, my dad doesn't do that. That's what your mom says? Oh, my mom doesn't do that. After a couple of times hearing that, like, well, maybe my parents are. No, they love you, they trust you, but maybe you didn't figure this all out. So they start slowly just drifting away. Slowly drifting. You can see them drifting away. You come look for a sheikh. My son is drifting away. I can't help you. I'm sorry. You're too late. Where's his mentor? Where's her mentor? Who's the person who's taking care of this? No one. Well, sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know what to tell you. They needed mentors earlier on. Someone they can look up to. Someone they can actually validate the values their parents are giving them through. They need that. I want to say that's almost, in my opinion, a human right, wallahi, and a human obligation. You are obligated to do this for others. And it's your right growing up to get this. And if you didn't get that, that means your society failed you. If no one did this for you, then your society failed you growing up. They didn't offer it for you. It's very important. It's not knowledge. I hope I've been successful in differentiating for you. Ta'lim, education, which is very important, and mentorship, which is different. This is different. There's some overlap, but it's not the same thing. And no, the imams of the city cannot mentor everybody. They cannot. It is impossible. It is not humanly possible for them to do that. That's why everyone has to get involved at a certain capacity. They have to make some time, they have to take interest in people. They have to role model. They have to spend time with individuals. Critical thinking, I left that at the end and end with that because we're running out of time. Critical thinking is not something that is taught. It's something that you are mentored to do. I can't teach you to critically think, but I can do it in front of you long enough until you pick up how to do it. You want a critical thinking society? You want individuals who understand critical thinking and the importance of it and the value of it? A society that walks away from khurafat and khuzabah, that walks away from insane thoughts, from mysticism and problems of, you need to teach them critical thinking. You can't teach it. I can't run a course. Here's how to, no. But you can role model it and people will learn how to do it after you. There's so much in life that is not taught through a syllabus. There's so much in life that is just learned by observing others, by role modeling, by following other people's footsteps. That's how you build identity. You don't build identity through a course that is given at a school or a masjid or anywhere else for that matter. You build identity by being surrounded by role models who have the same identity, and you pick up that identity for yourself. It's as simple as that, or maybe as difficult as that. I don't know anymore. I honestly don't. But having a network, which is why we call this the Muslim Wellness Network, having a network helps with that. Because when people know each other and people are willing to help each other out, that's when we actually start lighting up. And everyone benefits. It's very selfish. I need someone to mentor my children. I'm parenting them. At some point, I'll need a mentor for them. I'll help mentor yours. You can help mentor mine. And if we do that appropriately, we're taking care of each other, taking care of the next generation. I'm going to end with that, inshallah ta'ala. I really think this is something worth investing in. It's investing time, investing wealth, investing thought. Because it's much, we've been trying to do it here for the last year or so. It's not easy. It's a difficult thing to do. It's hard to figure out exactly how to do this in a way that is suitable to be done in the context of this country and this time. A lot of the problems, by the way, that we struggle with today, problems of our values being basically opposite values being shoved down our throats, values that, you know, we're keeping kids from school for, you want to protect your society from that, mentor. Mentorship will, no problem. You can be living in the midst of the worst value-based society in the world. If you have proper mentorship set up, no problem. Your children will be immune. And without that, it doesn't matter, really. It doesn't matter what we do. If it's not this problem that is going to ruin our value system, it'll be the problem number two or three or four. Something will do it because we're lacking a very basic societal communal function. I hope that was a benefit. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ السَّادَةِ الْحُنَفَاءِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانَ وَعَلِيٍّ وارض اللهم عن زوجاته أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى ورده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا رب العالمين اللهم ردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحا طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة.